Now here we are. We finally made it to our destination. I just want to make a note of it. We've been praying about this for some time, and we're praying all the way out here, and we're believing God for the right place to do our video today. And out of all things, David tells me there's an old courthouse downtown Toronto. So this is it. I've been in Oshawa for all my life, and I've never seen this courthouse before. It never meant nothing to me. So, and you know, if anybody knows anything about Pierre and Mission Enterprise, we make a lot about, we have a lot of images of courtroom settings because of my teachings on accountability as a believer, the judgment seat of Christ, and the great white throne judgment for the unbeliever. Now, this is not the teaching today, but this is perfect, and I know the Lord brought us here, so this it's perfect. It's not too sunny out. We're gonna move up here, and this is our first video, so just watch your steps. So like I said, we're downtown Toronto. This is at where? Queens and, where are we?
Bay.
Queen and Bay.
Queen and Bay.
We're at Queen and Bay. All right, so today, like I said, we're in downtown Toronto, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Oshawa, where we're from, is about, no traffic. We're about 45 minutes from this place. So the pre-introduction here is that, you give me my bottle of water too, Dave, I'm gonna need some water. The pre-introduction to this, all this, is that this is a new series regarding what the Bible has to say about outreach, quote unquote, outreach, which is another term that can be used to replace or add to these key terms such as evangelism, the Great Commission, missions, missionary work. That's why you got Missionary Enterprise, which the Lord gave me back in March 7th, 2004, in a visitation. Winning the lost, missionary work, which are very common terms in the overall evangelical church worldwide, okay? So going on here, outreach or reaching out, that's what the outreach, got the word reach, out and reach. Reaching out has to do, number one, with the fall of, or the fall and the lostness of mankind, okay? Because without the fall, there's no reaching out, right? And it's redemption, salvation, restoration, reconciliation, which are all terms that we will be looking at, not today, but on other videos that we'll be doing in different cities and even out of the GTA area, which has other cities, and also in different areas as the Lord leads us. So one of the things that we would like to do is to produce a new video in different locations. That's what I just said, right? Of different cities, towns, rural areas across the region beyond, as the Lord leads us. So the first thing that I want to touch on first is my introduction is concerning the city of Toronto. Toronto has an estimated, Toronto itself, not GTA, Toronto itself has an estimate of almost 3 million people. Not that big of a city compared to a city like Kinshasa, where I was at, which is 16 million people. GTA is almost 8 million people. But the interesting thing about Toronto, the city of Toronto, not GTA, but Toronto, is that it's the fourth biggest populated metropolitan area in all of North America. Now that's big, in all of North America, all right? So that's very interesting to know about that. We're located right Lake Ontario. Lake Ontario is not too far from here. Oshawa is on Lake Ontario also. Beautiful lake. It's one of the Great Lakes. Also, I just want to make a note here that from its history of Toronto, Toronto used to be called Toronto the Good. Toronto the Good. In contrast of what they're saying now about Toronto, even recently, there was an article, why Toronto the Good is no longer good, but it's worse. It's getting worse. And one of the things that I've discovered recently is the homicide rate. It's higher than the city of New York City. That's pretty sad, okay? So I'm saying all these things for a reason. One of the things about Toronto the Good, from its history as a bastion, very key word, bastion, of 19th century Victorian morality coined by the mayor, William Holmes Holland, but Victorian morality, the Victorian age, which is an age of Christianity, where Christianity was blooming everywhere in North America, especially Canada, the Victorian age, okay? And I like the word Victorian because it's got the word victory in it. And there's a reason for that. And there's a reason why Toronto is not Toronto the Good anymore. There's a reason for it. And we're gonna look into that a little bit, okay? So we're gonna move on here. This is why I've been saying for years now, the Lord showed me this years ago, the real problem is not with the government. Even though the government needs to change, we need to have better government in Canada. Government, the word has a lot to say about government, of cities, of nations, of whatever, towns, villages, rural areas. You've got a government to govern. And the better government, the better that city will be. And but the reason, the real problem is not with the government. It's with the church. It's with the church. And a lot of people have criticized me for being too critical on the church, but the Lord really helped me with that years ago. He says, you don't have a problem with my church. You've got a problem with the condition of my church. I got that from the Lord himself, the head of the church himself, okay? So, which is true, it's the condition of the church. So this is the whole part of Reformation. If we can get the church back to what it should be, we're gonna have a whole different ball game in Canada and throughout the whole world. So, let's move on here. My comment, before we move on to key references, years ago, as a habit of mine, I used to go to the Oshawa Airport. That's where I did my intro video for my website. I would go there a lot, and I still do, not as much. I would go there for prayer, because a big parking lot, the whole thing. And one day, I asked the Lord, because I worked for years in the construction industry downtown Toronto here, high rises, hospitals, high schools, all kinds of stuff like that. I asked the Lord one day, I said, what is it about big cities that I'm so drawn to? What is it? What is it, me or is it something else? The Lord immediately answered me, immediately. And he said, big cities are the devil's playground, but they're my harvest field. Wow, what a word, okay? So they're the devil's playground, but they're their harvest field, okay? So key references here, and a lot of these verses we're gonna look at in our next videos. We're gonna do a lot of breakdown. There's no Greek today. For those who know me, I usually use a lot of Greek and Hebrew. No Greek today, but I'm just gonna outline some key words here. So first of all, we have Matthew 9, 37 to 38, amplified, all amplified. Then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest, see what he said? The harvest field, okay? The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. 38, so pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest. Matthew 28, 19. Go then and make disciples of all nations, not some nations, but all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mark 16, 15, and he said to them, go, imperatives, go into all the world, not some of the world, but all of the world, and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. Luke 10, 1 and 3. Now after this, the Lord chose and appointed 70 others and sent them, we're going to look at that word sent, it's everywhere in the New Testament, sent them out ahead of him, two by two, which is very interesting, into every town and place where he himself was about to come and visit. Verse 3, go your way. This is interesting here, I just saw this the other day. Go your way, behold, pay attention. Even warning, I send you, there's the word sent again, apostolos, I'd stay away from the Greek. I send you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Into the midst of wolves. All right, perfect timing, we got the bells. No Hell's Bells either, no ACDC. in the midst of wolves. That's why Christians don't like to evangelize, because they don't know how to handle wolves. But Jesus does, and I'm learning too. Luke 14:23. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, byways, and urge and constrain them to yield and come in so that my house may be filled. John 4:35-38. Do you not say it is still 4 months until harvest time comes? Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are already white for harvesting. Look at the people. We're not even right downtown. We're on the side street of Yonge Street. There's a whole lot more people over there, but there's still a lot of people around here. Okay? That's the harvest. Already the reaper, verse 36, already the reaper is getting his wages. He who does the cutting now has his reward, for he is gathering fruit crop until life eternal, so that he who does the planting and he who does the reaping may rejoice together. Now, if there's somebody who teaches on unity, it's moi, because the Lord showed me about unity years ago. That's why a lot of my banners have missionary prize in association with different ministries, different Bible schools, different churches in different nations and different continents, not just Africa, but also Asia and also in Europe, but mostly in Africa and Asia at this time. For in this, verse 37, for in this the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. 38, I sent you, there it is again, sent. I sent you, it's a military term. I sent you to reap a crop for which you have not toiled. Other men have labored, and you have stepped in to reap the results of their work. Talk about teamwork. Talk about a body working together, which is not happening overall in the universal church. And I'm going to touch on this here because it fits in with what I just said here in John 4, found in 1 Corinthians 3:5-9. We're almost done here. Verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Paul is writing this. Ministering servants, not heads of parties, through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. 6, verse 6. I planted. Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. 7. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but only God who makes it grow and becomes greater. Wow, Paul says we are nothing. We are nothing. Talk about living out of the new man and not the old man. You know, the old man says, I watered, I've sown, I've reaped. That's the old man talking. The church is full of the old man. But God wants the new man, where we don't take credit for nothing. 8, he who plants and he who waters are equal. Wow, they're equal. And one a name of the same importance and esteem, yet each shall receive his own reward, of course, wages according to his own labor. Which is why I mentioned this courthouse, this old courthouse, and which I teach a lot on, the judgment seat of Christ, especially out of 1 Corinthians 3:13-15, where there's works will be burned up and rewards will be lost. And I was just sharing with David on the way up here, I had heard Jack Benny say this years ago, and it's true. He said where it says that the Lord's going to wipe away our tears, the tears that are going to be wiped away is those who lost rewards, whose works were burned up. Yeah, it's not going to be a joyful day. So it's time to get your doctrine straight. It's time to get your theology straight. It's time to get your life straight. Make sure your works are lined up with his good works, which he's planned beforehand in Ephesians 2:10. Because we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Where am I here? We're equal in one, of the same importance as esteem, yet each one. Okay, 9. for we are fellow workmen. Fellow workmen. Joint promoters. Joint. Not a joint smoking dope like our Prime Minister has just is passing the law that we can smoke cannabis. No, joint as in a joint, like a joint and an arm, working together. Labors together. God's garden. The believers are God's garden, okay? And vineyard and field under cultivation, you are God's building. Don't want to get into that today. Now he's talking about the church, once it got born again. Okay, we're almost done here. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:20, one of my favorite verses. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God making his appeal as it were through us, God himself. Why? Because God's inside of us once we're born again, the Holy Spirit. We, as Christ's personal representatives on this earth, beg you, we're going to look at all this stuff later on, for his sake, to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. Now, just before that, he said that God had reconciled the world to himself. But that's positionally. God has already saved everybody positionally. God has already healed everybody positionally. God has already set everybody free positionally. God has already prospered everybody positionally at the cross through the substitution. But now people need to hear about it in God's power, but they also need to receive it. That's how you receive the salvation, by believing. So I want to thank you for your time and look forward to seeing you once again in our next city, our town, wherever the Lord leads us. Most probably it's going to be downtown Oshawa, which is our Jerusalem. Thank you very much.